Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. Halloween's on the corner, so Scott was like, yo, let's talk about one of the best Halloween movies that's ever been made, Halloween 6. And let me just get this out of the way. I've posted this on the internet already once before. We get revisionist about a lot of stuff, like 10, 15, 15 after they've come out. We like rewatch Season of the Witch. You know, Freddy's Revenge has had a resurgence. No one even tries to tell me that Curse of Michael Myers is that bad of a movie. I will shut them down immediately.
It's funny that you say that you shut them down immediately, because I'm pretty sure that when you posted about this and everybody came out of the fucking woodwork and was like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. I have a soft spot for H6. It's not so bad. You didn't do anything.
No, I let them expose themselves. What I mean is that I'll get very angry by myself and sit in my room and be like, everyone's stupid.
And then he has a bath bomb and he has a very pleasant evening in his bathtub.
Yeah.
I'm actually recording this from the bath. I'm like William Taft.
Now, that is a really good reference that I would have never... I don't think anybody would have fucking expected it on Horror Movie Night.
And they say that we're entertaining but not educated. God, yeah. Let's get this out of the way. You picked this.
Did I pick this?
You had threatened this. I played a game of chicken and lost, basically. I was like, come on, do it.
Now you know that I always will. I love the fact that you're giving me shit about it, thinking like, oh, Scott picked a bad movie. I don't pick bad movies.
I don't either. I pick good discussion topics.
Well, then I picked a good discussion topic because there's going to be a little bit of fire and brimstone. You know, maybe we're going to go to hell.
Welcome to hell.
Well, you found my double feature.
I want to get one thing out of the way. It's the biggest reason why I pushed you to pick this movie. Scream Factory put out their Halloween box set. It had the producer's cut. This changes everything. It's not that bad of a movie. The producer's cut. It's such a bad... It could have been so much more.
No, it made it worse.
Honestly, I can't remember the difference because I've watched both multiple times trying.
The producer's cut drives home on the cult aspect, that he's like resurrected by the cult. And like, when I think that that's so dumb and over the top, but like can fully accept that a nun was raped by 1,000 maniacs and that's what made Freddy Krueger, that's a bad... Like I'm not one of those people that's like, that's unrealistic. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I guess I gotta agree with you.
Yeah, I got the Mark of Thorn on me because my friend Zach got the Mark of Thorn.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, my friend Zach had the Mark of Thorn on him, and then he died. So then we all got the Mark of Thorn on us in hopes that we would follow suit, but we did not. So we were all still here.
I was reading so much information a while ago because it seems like the guy who wrote this owned this entirely. He had written the movie and then they took it away from him from that point on. This isn't even close to the movie I wrote. The most notable thing about it is Paul Rudd, and he's so miscast. Like, I can't take Paul Rudd seriously making that phone call to the radio station. Oh. That slow zoom and he's like, are you ready to crazy ass shit? I'm like, all right, I don't need this performance from you.
Yeah, but he also does this weird thing every time that grown-up Tommy Doyle sees Michael Myers. He's like, he does this weird laugh kind of I think it's supposed to be hopelessness or fear, but it just looks like he shit his pants.
Looks like he's in on a really funny joke.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Michael and I have a real funny joke. It's where I didn't get murdered in 1978.
I mean, I have an okay memory of this movie, but it's not that much. I mean, I was home for Halloween. We went to Tom's Pizza and it was playing on the television.
I was going to say, that's my only memory of this movie.
Yeah.
You know what I love is that he did Clueless and then he did The Curse of Michael Myers.
So this was first, actually.
Gotcha. Because it comes up second in his IMDb. I'm looking at it.
Maybe it was completed second.
Did you know all that pre-production that went into the special effects in Clueless?
Yeah.
This is the only Halloween movie that was shot in the fall.
I was going to say, H5 is very obviously a summer film because there are like completely green leaves on the trees. I guess that I'm not surprised about it in any of them, but in H4
it looks the most fall.
Yeah, it really does. But that's what they spent all their budget on, man. They had to CGI in all the fallness.
They imported all the leaves.
Well, I know they actually did that for the original Halloween. I remember that. And that they had like a big fan that they were blowing them at Jamie Lee Curtis, because that was filmed in California, wasn't it?
It was filmed in Pasadena, which Kyle took me for a tour of all of the items from Halloween because he lived in Pasadena.
It's like one of those like celebrity ghost tours, except it was just the Halloween movie.
It was just two strangers becoming friends, basically.
Hey, fair. Also, Paul Rudd does that stupid face again when Barry, the shock jock that they have, come out and he wears, you know, a pair of boxers and a trench coat. And a mustache. Those are the things that he wears. The murders in this make no sense.
No. At first, I thought this movie must have gotten massacred by the MPAA because, like, the cuts are so quick. But then, like, later in the movie, it's like, man, this is pretty gory. Man, there's a lot of blood.
And also, there's a lot of green goo that is apparently Michael Myers' blood.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm made of shamrock shake.
It's a bad movie, man.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I remember the first time I watched it in high school. I can see myself sitting in my room. It was like a Friday night or something like that in the fall, super stoked to finally watch the sixth one. Because I think I had like, I believe that I had purchased the 20-year anniversary copy of Halloween on VHS. So that came out in 98, I believe. Yeah, that would have been 98, right? So I would have probably gotten that in 99 because I don't know if I was buying tapes in 98, but bought it in 99 and I watched it religiously. It was like the remastered edition. I don't know what the difference was, but I watched it constantly. I remember finally renting The Curse of Michael Myers thinking like, this has got to be good. You know, it's just got to be good. And
it's the sixth one. How could it be bad?
Yeah, exactly. It's the newest one at the time. And I just remember being so confused and disappointed as I watched it. I was like, wait, so they recast Jamie, so it's no longer Danielle Harris. So, of course, that is the first time where Brian was probably like, fuck this movie. But then there's, like, Paul Rudd, voyeur. You know, it's, I think I knew who Paul Rudd was by the time. Yeah, I think I probably would have seen Clueless first.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, oh, Paul Rudd, I know who that is. And watching it, and I was like, this doesn't seem right. And then finding out that Donald Pleasance died while they were in post-production, right?
Yeah.
And they, or maybe it wasn't post-production, but
they pulled an Ed Wood. They basically found a guy, Donald Pleasance, from the back for the scenes that they hadn't filmed yet.
That's right.
What a note to end a career on.
Illustrious.
Halloween 6.
I love that the way that they think that a shock jock works, because obviously this was when Howard Stern was getting super popular, and so they had to have a Howard Stern stand-in, and so they have him basically just kind of sexually harass the girlfriend of the teenage guy who lives in the original Strode house. Is that right? Or is it the Michael Myers house? It's the Michael Myers house. It's not the Strode house. When Barry finds this out, because he's like talking trash and he goes, I bet she wears crotchless panties and barks like a dog. And then her boyfriend, who is dressed up, so she's dressed up like Bride of Frankenstein and he's dressed up like the worst Frankenstein I've ever seen. he doesn't defend her. He's not like, hey man, not cool. And then he brings it up later before they bang. And he's like, I bet you were a crush was basic, bark like a dog. And she's charmed by that. I wasn't dating in 95, but I'm pretty sure that that's unrealistic.
A little bit.
We got to talk about old lady Blankenship. That's the old woman who, I wrote down her name, is telling the story to the little boy who lives in the house, who likes Tommy Doyle. He's like, Tommy's my new best friend. He knows all about dinosaurs. So if you want a stupid-ass kid to follow you around, just tell them about dinosaurs.
That's actually accurate.
Oh, tell Matt Kelly about dinosaurs and he'll follow you around. The old lady Blankenship thing that I wanted to note is that she's just a fine old lady. And then she tells the little kid about why they would curse, you know, why they would have to have this curse to murder your family, blah, blah, blah. At the end of it, I had to pause the video that I was watching and be like, wait a second. She's got a herp. Like, it's not in the original part of it when they were filming it. But then later on, she, like, has a huge herpy on her sore on her lip. And I'm like, were they really that hard up that they couldn't just put some makeup over it or change the... Because it wasn't like, with herpes, you can put medication on it and it'll be gone in a day. Or 2 days. What I need to know, the last thing I need to know about this is, why would Michael Myers take the time to burn the Mark of Thorn into some bales of hay? Is that in the original script? I mean, I don't know if any of us will ever know the truth of these questions, but...
No, I have no clue.
But just, I love that the guy has the ability to just wipe his hands. The guy that wrote it originally has the ability to wipe his hands of any stupid bullshit that happens in it, that even if he wrote it, he can be like, that wasn't me.
Ryan, let me quick question. Could you have that Blu-ray set and do you feel like it was worth what you paid for
it? I didn't buy the box set.
Oh.
Yeah. As soon as the box set came out, I was debating on buying the box set, even though I already owned the box set. But like literally a week after the box set came out, they just released the Blu-ray of Curse. So I just bought it. So I have two copies of Curse, and they're both bad.
Wait, so what's your first copy of Curse? Is it on DVD?
Not the producer's cut. DVD and then a Blu-ray of the producer's cut. So if you want to know which one's better, the original is better because it's shorter.
That's what I was about to say.
There are people out there identify as like Halloween is their favorite franchise, and that's fine. Also people there that I think feel like, well, I can't say a bad thing of these movies or I'm not that good of a fan. And it's like, no, you can hate parts of a franchise and still claim it as your favorite franchise.
No one's going to judge you.
Scott, what was your double feature with this?
Well, it should be obvious. I'm going with Halloween 4 because it is the best of the series. I do love H2O, Matt, but Halloween 4 is that warm blanket on a cool, crisp October night. You got some piping hot spiced cider and you're just hanging out and you're watching Halloween 4 after you subject yourself to this is what happens is your brain goes blank and you're like, is Halloween 6 that bad? Like once in a decade, Halloween 6 can't be as bad as I remember it. It just seems dumb. Like, let's rewatch it. And then you're like, well, I need a palate cleanser. So then you watch Halloween 4.
There you go. Brian, how about you go next?
Uneventfully, I'm going to kind of do what Scott did. And I'm going to do Halloween 2. Not my favorite, but for whatever reason.
Wait, which one? The original Halloween 2 or the zombie?
Original Halloween 2.
Okay.
Original Halloween 2 is kind of like Halloween. Well, Halloween 4 is your favorite. But one of the reasons Halloween 4 is your favorite is one of the reasons I enjoy Halloween 2. For whatever reason in my subconscious, it's the most Halloween season Halloween movie to me. Which is weird because it doesn't actually play on to the holiday as much as most of the movies.
Yeah, it's in a hospital.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's something I watched as a kid on Halloween or what, but it's the one that's like, ooh.
I'm going to have something Scott said when we were talking about all the different writers that this movie probably had and said, man, it was like one of them really wanted to make this work as a sci-fi. I'm going to go with Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
I think this is the first time that we've ever all picked another movie from the same franchise. Which is actually a huge deal to me because it's, you know, 90% of the time Brian's like, well, I think I'd like to mix this up when this week, and I think I'm just going to rewatch The Town That Dreaded Sundown again. But for once, he's like Halloween 2, you know? And also, I got to laugh because Halloween 2, I never saw on cable ever. And the best part of that movie is the nudity, and there's no way that they would have shown that on TV.
Yeah, what is something that you watch?
Well, before that, I'll do my what did I watch in a second. I just got to tell you about my Halloween 2. My best friend and I took his dad's camera, and we would use the camera to, you know, make bootleg copies on VHS, right? And the bootleg copy of Halloween 2 was at my house, and it was almost exclusively rewound to the beginning of the nudity scene, and I still have it at my parents' house. So, Mom and Dad, please don't ever dust off my Halloween 2 VHS bootleg, because you'll understand what I was masturbating to back in like 2000.
We actually talked about this way, way back a few months ago. I want to jump in, even though we're way past it. But the best thing about Halloween 6 is the Italian poster for it. I don't know if you guys remember when I sent you this. Obviously, if you're not the few people.
Oh, paying. Yeah. That is a very Italian poster. Yeah.
Sorry, Scott. Continue.
What did you watch this week?
So, yeah. I want to talk about two movies that I can't believe got made. They were on HBO Max, I want to say. I put stuff on HBO Max to fall asleep or to get back to sleep. I don't really care what it is. So the CGI Fest Beowulf that had like Angelina Jolie as Beowulf, as Grendel's mom.
Yeah.
How did that get made? I think I made it a half an hour total through that movie, and it is just unfucking watchable. The script is bad, the CGI is bad. Every decision is poor. But then I follow that up with Ryan Reynolds in Green Lantern. I finally watched the, it took me like four nights, but I finally watched all of Green Lantern, and so many poor decisions were made.
Brian, what's something that you watched?
Not much, but I did watch two out of three of the Dollar Trilogy. So I watched Fistful of Dollars and a few dollars more.
Yeah. Is it because those are the two that are on HBO Max?
All three are on HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's just, the thing is like I watched each one within a week, except like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is like as long as Roots. So like, I don't know how long it's going to
be. 3.5 hours yeah. long. It's a good movie though.
So they're, I mean, I enjoy them. They're spaghetti westerns, you know?
I definitely like spaghetti westerns more than a regular western.
I think, yeah, as if you can get over like the dubbing, I don't know. There's just something funny about a director that's just like, hey, you're Spanish, so you're just going to read all your lines in Spanish. You're Italian, you're just going to read all your lines in Italian. And you're American, all yours in American, and we'll figure it out when it's done. I'll tell you what, though, the soundtrack to A Few Dollars More is phenomenal. It was really good.
I'll have to check it out. Make mine fairly short. The amazing documentary produced by a friend of Brian and I called This Is Guar.
Yes.
About the entire history of the band. Man, the opening of this documentary is the special effects guy showing you all of the tanks of fake blood.
Did you both get to see Guar live?
Oh, yes.
I've never seen Guar live.
Never. It is forever one of my favorite shows. It's just so funny how, like, remember I was saying how like Austin Powers didn't age well in the sense of like everything is so outdated? Mm-hmm. Like my memory of the show was like Paris Hilton getting stabbed with a syringe and George Bush getting beheaded and like all these things.
Yeah,
like, remember everyone hated those?
Remember how they like would change their stage show? You know, they'd have their slaves that would bring out stuff. So when did you see that? Would that have been early 2000s?
2003, I think I was 13. I think I still have my white shirt.
Oh, I do not have my white shirt anymore, man. It's been a long time. I would have seen them January of 2000 or February of 2002. So almost 20 years ago, which is just shockingly embarrassing, but they were still touring for like Violence Has Arrived, and they were playing mostly stuff from Violence Has Arrived, and so it was really a good show.
So the doc is really good. It's really worth checking out. That was Halloween 6 as picked by Scott. Next week we are going to do our Halloween episode.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.